I mean, the New Testament book, when you get into it, you begin to read it, it'll tell you how to live your daily life. So when you pull back, you see the whole story. But when you get in close, you know why people don't read the Bible? Because they don't want to read it, right? You know, I heard somebody say one time, you don't read the Bible reads you. And so sometimes you stay away from it because you don't want to hear the things that God is saying. So let's start in Genesis 17, verse 1, and I'm going to read 8 verses to you. Excuse me. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Would you pray with me? Father God, I want to thank you this morning for the holy word of God. Father, I thank you that it has power to heal, to deliver, to enlighten, to set free. And Father, as we take the next few moments and look into the scripture, I thank you that your grace and hand is on our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Now, you know that the Bible was originally written in Hebrew, and it was translated by translators into English. And there's a word here called, and it's God identifies himself as Almighty God. And I'm going to get to the original translation in just a moment, but I like the way they translated this. Okay, the translator said, God said about himself, I am Almighty God. I think that's powerful. I love that. Okay, there is none other greater than your God. There is none other greater than Jehovah. He said, I am Almighty God. Now, what did Jesus say in the New Testament? He said, all power in heaven and in earth belongs to me. Now, let me say it again. All power in heaven and all power on earth belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else has any power. Now, anybody that comes along and says to you, any other religion, any other person claiming to be a deity, and they say they have power, well, they're liars. Because Jesus said all power belongs to him. Then his father said, I am Almighty God. Now, he's introducing himself to Abraham, and there are 6 covenant words for God. And we're only going to look at one of them this morning. But God does something here. He identifies himself to Abraham. Now, in Hebrews, the Bible says that God wants you and I to know what? That he's a rewarder. Now, I've talked about that. We've done series on it. I've been so ministered to personally by it. Listen, God comes to Abram and he identifies himself. He's going to show Abram a side of his character. Now, again, what did we find out in Hebrews? God wants you to know that he exists and he wants you to know that he is a rewarder. So he wants you to understand that side of him. Okay. The original Hebrew word here is the Hebrew word El Shaddai. And so God comes to Abram and he says this, I am El Shaddai. Now the translator said Almighty God, which again I like, but the original language says El Shaddai. God says, I am El Shaddai. Let me tell you what it means. It means all sufficient one, the God who's more than enough. Now, here's what Abraham does. Here's what God does. Excuse me. God says, I am El Shaddai. I am the all-sufficient one. I am the God who is more than enough. Now, here's what he's telling Abram. He tells Abram, I am enough for you. He's saying to you, he's enough for you. Now listen to me, whatever season of life you're in, young or old, whatever your future looks like, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, okay, Miss Vicki and I are in a different season than Matt Birkenfeld is in. He's younger, we're older. Our seasons are different. We are facing different things. But our God says, no matter where you are, I am more than enough. Not enough, more than enough. Okay, you know what we do? Well, we make our God little and we make our mountains big. Don't we? Yeah, we do. We make our God little and we make our mountains big. I've said this before. Okay, you need to tell your mountain about your God. You need to tell your mountain how big your God is. Your mountain needs to hear your voice. Listen to me. Whatever you're facing, you serve Almighty God. You serve El Shaddai. And he said, I'm more than enough. I am the all-sufficient one. Whatever you need, I can supply. Whatever you have going on in your life, I can do. Now, let me continue to read to you. He tells him, I'm El Shaddai. Listen, I'm going to do some things in your life, and I'm more than enough to accomplish it. And I will make my covenant between me and you. A covenant is not a contract. Don't miss this. A covenant is an agreement between two parties ratified by blood. Marriage is a covenant. When you go buy a car, you sign a contract. You do not sign a covenant. That's why it's so tragic and so devastating and so disruptive because of divorce. Because what you're doing is you're tearing a covenant apart. Okay, a covenant is an unbreakable bond. And God says, I'm going to cut covenant with you, Abraham. I'm going to make a covenant between me and you, and I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. Now, he's talking to a guy that doesn't even have any kids. Okay, now this is a big story, and I can't get into all of it, but he doesn't even have any kids. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, and here's what he said. As for me, as for God, don't you love that? As for me, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. He's talking to a guy that doesn't have any kids who's 99 years old. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, isn't that crazy? All right, let me keep reading. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. The word Abraham means father of nations. That's what it means. It means father. You know what God does? God takes a man who's old, who doesn't have any children, and he tells him, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and you are going to be the father of many nations. And I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of nations. And every time I call your name, I'm calling you a father of many nations. Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this. What do you call your kids? What do you speak over your kids? The Bible says in Romans that God calls those things that be not as though they were. Okay, he calls those things that be not as though they were. You know what we do? We gripe about what we have instead of calling in what we want. Okay, God told an old man without kids, you're going to be a daddy. You're going to be a daddy. And you know what Abraham says? I ain't going to be no daddy. I'm 99 years old. You're going to be a daddy, and I'm going to change your name. Listen, names matter to God. He changes his name to Father of Many Nations. So every time he talks to him, every time his wife says his name, they're confessing over him that he's a father of many nations before it happens. Now, can I just throw this out as crystal clear as I can? Whatever you want for your children, why don't you start speaking it over them right now? Why don't you call those things that be not as though they were, just like God did over your family, over your children, over whatever going on in your life? He calls him Abraham. Let me keep reading. For I have made you a father of many nations. He talks in past tense. Dude, this hadn't happened yet. I'm not no daddy. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you are. Isn't that good? Man, that's good. He sees it done before it happens. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I love that. Okay, I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Matthew says that Abraham is Jesus' father, that David is the father of Jesus. Now, symbolically, of course, we know God's his father, but you know what king comes from Abraham? King Jesus comes from Abraham. Now, listen to it again. I will make you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and King Jesus will come from you. Wow, God's got a pretty big plan. I bet he's got a pretty big plan for you too, amen? And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant. Did you know that the covenant that God made with Abraham is still in existence today? Let me explain to you something about the covenants. There's the covenant of Noah. Do you know what the sign of the covenant of Noah is? The rainbow. You know what the rainbow is a sign of? That God keeps his word. Isn't it laughable that the devil wants that? Yeah, that the devil wants that? That the devil's using that as a sign for sin and for darkness? Because the devil's always a counterfeit. Okay, the sign of the Noah covenant is the rainbow. Then there's the Abrahamic covenant. And the sign of that covenant is circumcision. Okay? Yeah, that's correct. Circumcision. Is that right? Yes? Okay, yes. I'm getting my head right. Okay, then there's the covenant of Moses, and the sign of the Moses covenant is the law. Okay, then there's the covenant of David, and the covenant of David's sign was that Jesus would rule and reign on the throne of David, which he will. Then the last covenant is the new covenant. Okay, you and I are in the new covenant because we've been born again and know Jesus Christ. And Jesus fulfilled every one of those covenants. And all the benefits in those covenants belong to you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Abrahamic covenant is still in force today, and all the benefits that go with it belong to you. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute over in the New Testament. But let me keep reading. I will establish my covenant between you and your descendants after you, and it's going to be a covenant that's going to last forever. Now, remember what God said? I'm El Shaddai. I'm the God who's more than enough. I can meet every need that you have. For an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. Let me stop right here. God told Abram, which his name is now Abraham, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be your God. Listen, all the neighbors of Israel continue to push on them, continue to squeeze on them. Even different presidents in the United States continue to push and squeeze on Israel. And Israel, as it exists today, is smaller than the original land of Canaan. And God told Abraham, I'm going to give you the nation of Israel. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, and it's yours forever. Forever. Listen, I don't have a map this morning, but if I could put up a map of Canaan, it goes into all those other Middle Eastern countries. And those countries that are fighting Israel, they're not fighting Israel, they're fighting God. Okay, God says Israel belongs to the Jews and belongs to Abraham, and it's going to belong to them forever. Now, I want to go to Genesis. I have in my notes Genesis 17, 4 through 7, but I'm going to jump down through that because we've talked about that, and I'm going to go to Genesis 12, 3. Listen to what this says. God tells Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Let me read it again. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Listen, if you're anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic, or you don't like the nation of Israel, God has placed a curse on your life. Okay, he's placed that curse on nations and on leaders. Listen, the reason Hitler was defeated in World War II, and thank God for the Allied forces and God used them, but he was at war with God. and he lost. And if you're at war with God, you're going to lose. Now listen, the blessings of Abraham belong to you. And God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And when he says that, he's saying, I'm going to bless you also. So Israel is in an everlasting covenant with God. The nation of Israel belongs to God, and God's giving it to them. And he said, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. Now we're going to go to Galatians 3:13, and I'm going to show you something absolutely amazing. I know some of you know this, but some of you don't. Galatians 3:13, let me read it to you. Christ has redeemed or purchased us from the curse of the law. Now, he's talking about the Moses covenant here. Okay, in the Moses covenant, when he came down off the mountain with the tablets, God made an agreement with Israel. It's in Genesis 28, I believe. And he said, if you'll follow me and obey me, I'll bless you. If you won't, I'm going to curse you. Okay, you can go over to Genesis 28 and you can read the blessings and you can read the cursings. What I just read to you says that you and I have been redeemed or purchased from the curse of the law. Listen, there's no curse on you if you know Jesus as your Savior. Are you listening to me? Okay, you're redeemed from the curse of the law because of what Jesus has done for you. For Christ has redeemed or purchased us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Jesus took your curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's a reference to Jesus being on the cross. We know that a cross, of course, was made out of wood, and that's a reference to a tree. Listen, when Jesus hung on the cross, he paid for your sin and he took your curse. All right, so you are not cursed. You're not under any kind of curse. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, let me keep reading. This is so amazing. Here it is, that the blessing of Abraham might come on you. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That means when you prayed the prayer and you invited Jesus into your heart, you stepped into the Abrahamic covenant, and the benefits of that covenant belong to you. The benefits of the Moses covenant belong to you. The benefits of the Noah covenant belong to you. The benefits of David's covenant belong to you. The benefits of the new covenant belong to you. Man, when you come in this place, you ought to be smiling. When you go in to get your tags renewed, you ought to be smiling. Because nobody smiles in there, right? Right? You know why they have that big old thick glass on there, right? To keep you from reaching in there and choking the life out of them. No offense, right? Hey, I need to get my tags renewed. I don't even want to tell you that story. All right. I better not chase that rabbit. I mean, I'll have to repent when I get done. Don't miss this. The blessing of Abraham belong to you. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to multiply you. All nations will be blessed because of you. Now, how did that happen? Well, that happened because out of that line came the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you and I are the seed of Abraham. You and I are part of that blessing. When he said to Abraham, the whole world's going to be blessed, you think, well, how's that going to happen? Well, it's happening because we're sitting right here this morning and we're born again and we're washed in the blood and we're the seed of Abraham, and the whole world is blessed because of the body of Christ. Now, let me keep reading. I got more. This is so good. It says that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Now, here's what I want to do. All I want you to do is connect these two events. God shows up in this farmer's life and he says, hey, I'm Almighty God. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the God who's more than enough. I'm the all-sufficient one. Listen, whatever needs you have, I can meet it. I can do exceeding abundantly above all you dare ask or think. If you need an inch, I'll give you more. If you need a gallon, I'll give you more. If you need 100, I'll give you more. Whatever you need in your life, I'm sufficient. I'm able. Okay, that's great. That's for Abraham. But it says right here in the scripture that we belong to Abraham. The blessings of Abraham belong to you because you're in Christ. So here's what I want you to see. When God showed up and said, I'm El Shaddai, he's doing the very same thing in your life. He's your El Shaddai. See, he's not just Abraham's El Shaddai. He's your El Shaddai. He is your all-sufficient one. He is the one able to meet all your needs. He's more than enough for you. I want this to encourage you this morning that the God you serve is well able to meet any need you have, any season of life you're in, any mountain you face. He's El Shaddai. Let me go to another scripture. I want to go to Galatians 3, same chapter, and I'm going to drop down to verse 26 through 29. This is so good. Listen to this. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, you can say sons and you can say daughters. Let me read it to you again. You are all sons or daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you became the son, the child of the Father God, of El Shaddai. For you are all sons, you're all daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Oh, there it is. Okay, there's the sign of the new covenant. The sign of the Abrahamic covenant was circumcision, remember? The sign of the Noah covenant is the rainbow. Yeah, I was talking to my granddaughters in Red River. We were there this last week, and we were talking about rainbows. You know, they've seen a few rainbows the last month. And they were asking about rainbows. And I said, a rainbow's a sign from God that he keeps his word, that he keeps his promises. The sign of the New Testament, the new covenant, is baptism. You're buried with Christ. You're raised to newness of life, and you live for Jesus. Let me keep reading. Look at what it says. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. Now, let me explain this to you. Remember back, I don't know if they still do this. You know, remember back in the old days where they'd had mannequins in stores and they would dress them up and put clothes on them? They may still do that, okay? I mean, I go to the store, but I don't pay attention, and I don't go that much, actually. So, but, okay, you remember before they would have them dressed and they'd be naked, okay? And they didn't have any genitals on the mannequins back then. Now, they may now, God forbid, but back then they didn't, okay? And so, you know, the mannequin wasn't a male or a female. Listen, you won't be a mannequin in heaven, okay? If you're a male, you're going to be a male. If you're a female, you're going to be a female. If you're a Gentile, you're going to be a Gentile. If you're a Jew, you're going to be a Jew. It's not saying that's all going to be wiped away. Here's the point he's making. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Greek or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you were a slave or if you were free. It doesn't matter if you're a man or if you're a woman. All that matters is you know Jesus. Amen? You see the difference? That's all that matters. We're all one in Christ Jesus. You're not going to heaven because you're a woman. You're not going to heaven because you're a man. You're not going to heaven because you're a Jew. You're not going to heaven because you're a Gentile. You're not going to heaven because you're a preacher. You're going to heaven because you know Jesus Christ. That's the point he's making. Now, let me keep reading. Here it is. I saved the best for last right here. You ready? You ready for it? Oh, this is so good. If you are Christ, anybody, are y'all Christ? Y'all belong to Christ? You know you do? Amen? You know you do? Okay, you belong to Christ. If you are Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed. If you're Christ's, you're Abraham's seed. Why am I talking about Abraham? Because the blessings God gave Abraham belong to you because you belong to Abraham. In a sense, he's your great, 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 great granddad. Let me read to you again. If you're Christ, hey, I know I'm Christ. Listen, when I die, I'm going to heaven. You know why? Because I know Jesus is my Savior. I belong to him and he belongs to me. Because of that, then I'm also Abraham's seed and I'm an heir. Woo! We might have a Jericho march. Remember when we used to do a Jericho march? We're all just going to get up and run around the room. One of Michelle's little boys ran out between praise and worship like his pants were on fire. And I like that. He's excited, man. You know, right? You know, you either want messes in nursery or you have cobwebs. And you don't want cobwebs because if you have cobwebs, your church is dying. Amen? Okay, we like babies. We like bawling babies. We like dirty diapers. We like messes. Amen. That means God's doing something. Amen. All right, now listen to it. Don't miss this. I'm an heir. You're an heir. What's an heir? You have an inheritance. You're an heir, right? Now, don't take this wrong. It doesn't matter what your earthly family has or doesn't have. That doesn't matter. Now, don't get me wrong when I say that. I'm not saying that in any begrudging way. See, it's not about your earthly family's inheritance. You have a godly inheritance. You have a heavenly father who owns a cattle on a thousand hills, whose home is covered in streets of gold, and you're his heir. Everything that belongs to God belongs to you because you're Abraham's seed. Let me read it to you one more time. If you're Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and you're an heir, and you have an inheritance. According to the promise. What promise? The promise gave Abraham. What did God tell Abraham that day all those thousands of years ago? He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and that covenant's never going to go away. And way down the line is Rusty and Vicky and Matt and Greg and Glenda and Jason and Brittany and Alan and Dennis. I could go across the whole room. Way down the line is us. And we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And Abraham's God is our God. And he was his El Shaddai. And he's our El Shaddai. And you can read the story of Abraham, all right? I know how you feel. I feel the same way. Abraham was afraid. Abraham did stupid stuff. He tried to give his wife away. Have you ever been so afraid you gave your wife away? Hey, man, don't kill me. You can have her. Just take her. Just take her. Don't kill me. Okay? I mean, he did some that's a whole nother sermon, man. He tried to give the woman away. He did give her away. The Pharaoh said, okay, I'll take her. Come on, honey. Come be in my harem with me. Man, you're kind of cute. You have any kids? No, I don't have any. Well, hey, baby, don't worry about that. We'll fix that. Right? That's what he did. And so he did, all I'm saying is he did some dumb stuff and he was afraid and he made mistakes. And you've never done anything that dumb, okay? What's the point I'm making? He was human, you and I are human. Okay, his God was El Shaddai, your God is El Shaddai. In spite of your mistakes, in spite of your faults, in spite of your fears, in spite of your shortcomings, he's the all-sufficient one. He's more than enough. And everything, man, you know what I would think? I would think that if you were thinking about it, you might go on and go back and find out what God told Abraham he could have. You might go back over to Deuteronomy and find out what God told Moses he could have. Because it belongs to you. You have an inheritance. Well, sure doesn't seem like it. It's because you don't know about it. And what you don't know will hurt you. You know, if I went down to the bank, put $100,000 in the bank in Jesus' name, but I never told him, it wouldn't do him any good, right? Yeah, have you ever seen those stories in the newspaper in the old days, you know, where people would have lock boxes and they're unopened and they're unclaimed and they put the names on them so in case people could try to find them and find out who, you know, what belongs to them because they've been abandoned. You have an inheritance. You serve a big God. His name is Almighty God. His name is El Shaddai. Whatever you're facing, he's more than enough, and he is the all-sufficient one. Would you stand, please? Let me pray for you. Father God, I want to thank you this morning that you are El Shaddai. I thank you that you are Almighty God. I thank you that you are the all-sufficient one. You are more than enough. Father, I pray for every person in this room that you would be real to them and that you meet their needs. You take care of them, whatever season of life they're in, whatever they're facing, you are more than enough. I thank you for Vicky and I in our life, in this season of our life, you are more than enough. Father, whether we're young, whether we're old, or whether we're in between, whatever it is we're doing in life, you are more than enough. You are the all-sufficient one, and the blessing of Abraham belonged to us. Because we're the seed of Abraham, because we're Christ. Father God, thank you this morning that you're at work in our families and you're at work in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen.